Okay, today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, is Daf Kuf Yud. Woo-hoo. We are getting pretty close to Pesach here, as we can measure by our dafim. So yesterday, the last thing that we learned was that despite the fact that people look at the Arba Kosot as being one mitzvah, in other words, they're all an interrelated four, which means that it would be Zugot, that nonetheless, this is the way many of the Rishonim learned, that nonetheless, each one of them was kavua as a mitzvah bifnei atzma. And therefore, since Chazal made it for a separate mitzvah, in other words, the first kos is miyuchad for Kiddush, and the second kos is miyuchad for Haggadah, and the third kos is miyuchad for Birkas HaMazon, and the fourth kos is miyuchad for Halal. So what that means is that the kviut on the mitzvah makes it each one of them a specifically designed kos, even though we have an overall grouping of arba kosot. And therefore, we don't view it as a problem of zugot. So we're continuing on with yesterday's discussion, lo yasetz rachav tre. So this means that a person should not engage in intercourse two times. That's the Gemara that doesn't make any sense, because by definition, intercourse is always followed by a refractory period, which means that it's never that you are continuously drinking, so to speak. You just get turned on again. If you get turned on again, then that's nimlach. Originally, since always following ejaculation, the person doesn't have any desire to engage in intercourse again, so then he's nimlach. Same thing as filling up with a cup of wine, not wanting to drink anymore, and then getting thirsty. So we said that that's not considered to be a problem of zugot, ever. So isn't that by definition the case over here? Rabbi, you're misreading the Braita. The Braita was not saying what things not to do twice. The Braita was saying there's an essential concept of zugot, not to eat two things and not to drink two things. In other words, pairs are a problem. Then, if you did such a thing, you should avoid anything that is in any way an increase in danger. So therefore, since your intercourse is an activity that could sometimes bring on overexertion, could give someone a heart attack or whatever, don't engage in anything that could possibly put you into danger, even something as simple as intercourse, because since you just followed what it is that you did by eating two pears or by drinking two cups of wine, it would be dangerous to do. Dil mechol shu mitra, that's what it's saying. So anybody who drinks in pairs has got his blood on his own head, because he should not have done something that was so dangerous. So remember, as we said yesterday, we were going to see over here is a remarkable thing, especially according to the Ben Ish Chai, who follows the Gemara, as we'll be going through with a girsa that's slightly different. And according to the Ben Ish Chai, the ideal view of Zugot was a continued development of Klal Yisrael's successful battle against issues of dualism. Mordechai asks that we learn also in Zecher of his sister, Aliyas Nishma's sister. So in any event, as we said yesterday, the question of Laila Meshumah Rubah Min HaMazikim that we spoke about yesterday is clearly related to the Mitzias of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Laila Meshumah Rubah Misheshes Yimei Bereshis. That means that the Yichud that is accomplished by Yisrael and the Olam in trying to bring all things back to their Mokar in that original Maisa Bereshis is the way to fight against any concept of breaking Bria up into its parts, into unrelated parts. And because of that, as the Dorot continued, explains the Ben Ish Chai, each generation achieved a deeper and deeper understanding of this until ultimately Zugot were completely wiped out. In other words, people stopped thinking in these ways and therefore were unaffected by the impact of that type of magical thinking. Now, that is very much ties into the whole Rambam, who understands that the development of science is itself, bechlal, part of the quest for Yichud, follows directly Avram Avinu's own achievement in terms of Yichud. And obviously, the whole the whole thrust of the scientific enterprise is to find more and more fundamental and simple ways of describing reality until what we look for, so to speak, is a theory of everything. A theory of everything would be the end of Zugos. And it's amazing that the Ben Ish Chai brings that in his time, and this is when he was a Rav in Baghdad, so in his time, the minhag became to bedafka do Zugos. It's very interesting. So that when people would send a matana for a Shavar Brachos or for a Bris Milah, they would always send Zugos specifically because they wanted to show that this is a way to interrelate this new simcha to another stage in the evolution of Yisrael, which all comes from the original Maaseh Bereishis and so on. And therefore, he says, b'shum ofen, it's completely usher to have any kind of chashash for this kind of thing, because then you give it basically some level of legitimacy, because and that's what it came from. The idea was that it was actually a legitimate concept. And of course, at the time, of the Gemara, there was an awful lot of Zoroasterism, and they were together with the Chavarim that had come to Bava from Persia and so on. So this was very, very much on their minds. Also, I think there's another thing that I want to bring out, which I've spoken about on many other occasions, which is the way in which these issues actually very much connect to other effects that we're familiar with, like the placebo effect or the way that all types of exteriorized issues, you would think, and emotional elements are deeply effective of your immune system. And because of that, there is a very profound and not yet understood very well, because people think it's just suggestivity, but it's not. Because even if people are fully aware of the fact that they're being given a placebo, they are just as likely to be affected by the placebo effect. So it's not just the question of it's being suggestive, and we don't understand the effect, but it means that it's very possible to impact people by systems of belief. And I mention to you all the time, because it used to make such an impact upon me as a kid, the way that Papa Duck, actually in Haiti, was capable of running the entire country based on voodoo. And he had people simply terrified to do anything against the government, because if anybody had the secret police of his, I forgot the Tukuma, something like that. Anyway, these secret police, they would never have to arrest anybody. They would put a voodoo doll in front of the house, you know, and it had like this needle going through its heart. And the guy would inevitably die of a heart attack, like within the next week. So, and he basically controlled an entire country with this belief system, which is amazing. So, I mean, this is in modern times we're talking about, right? It's like crazy stories. So, yeah. I remember there was another story, an incredible story. This happened in Baltimore. There was this black guy who was called Father God. Okay. So he told the world that he is God. All right, so they arrested him, for collecting funds under false pretenses. So they bring this guy in to the judge, you know, and the judge sentences him to some kind of fine or something. So he says to him, just remember what happens to people who start up with God. And the judge dies that night. You can imagine. Definitely upped his approval rating in the black neighborhoods. Anyway, so these kind of things and their connectedness to what the Gemara calls Kishuf, which the Rambam says is a bunch of garbage, right? Is an amazing Rambam. So the Rambam says all of these belief systems are just total nonsense, and it's usur for a person to believe that they have any reality. And then the Rambam defines the difference between Kishuf and achizat einayim is that you're only chayav for kishuf if you really do kishuf. But if you're just doing achizat einayim, then you're putter. I thought there was no such thing as kishuf. Okay, so obviously we have an incomplete understanding of the interrelationship of the real impact of things that are essentially psychosomatic and nonetheless are totally real in terms of their pathology. So the same thing is true over here. So we have these two issues, one of which is called kfalim or zugot. The other one, which is called kshaf, and we'll see there are differences between them. Amar Rav Yehuda, when do we say that a person is responsible for killing himself if he drinks a zugot? Bisman shelo ra'a pnei hashuk. Ra'a pnei hashuk, harashut biyado. So if between each one of the zugot, he goes outside for a minute and interrupts his drinking, so then it's not a problem. It's only if he stays in the same place. And on Rav Ashi, I actually saw Rav Hananya Bar Bibi, that when every time he would drink a cup, he would walk outside for a minute, having nothing, and he would see the rest of the world, and that would break the zugot. Furthermore, v'lo amran, when do we say that there's a sakana in zugot? That's only if you are going to be ultimately going outside for the day, going on the road. If you intend to stay in your own home, there's nothing to think about. I mean, you don't have to contest with magic and with zugot in your own home. Avo bebeito lo. Amar Rabbi Zera, but going to sleep is like going on the road. Amar of Papa, let's say the beitat kisei. Going out to use bathroom is also like going out on the road. So in other words, anything that brings you into contact with a world as a whole or with places where danger can take place. Ask the Gemara, you're telling me that there's no issue of zugot in the house? V'harava mani kashure. Didn't Rav? Now, obviously, these issues are pretty problematic for the Seder, right? Because the Gemara took for granted that it was a valid question to ask. I mean, you're not going to be walking outside in the middle of your Seder between the Kosot or after the Kosot, even if you open up the door. So why is that considered to be Yotzei L'Derech? So we're going to see that the Rashbam has to answer this problem anyway in a moment, and that the kasha of why the Rabbanan were metakein something that is Yotzei L'Derech Sakana includes in it not only zugot, but the danger of kshafim that latches on to zugot. And that's a completely different issue. Uveveitolo, v'arava manikashure, Rava used to count the roof beams so that he would relate the cup that he's drinking to a memory device in which he said beam one, beam two, beam three, and that way he wouldn't lose count. And Abaya, kishati chatka, so whenever Abaya would drink one cup, remember Abaya had that wonderful nanny that would always take good care of him. So his mother died right after she gave birth. His father died when he impregnated her. So he never knew his parents. And he only had this nanny. So she would be mankitle ime, tre kasi betre yade. So then if he drank one cup, she would bring two cups to him to drink. So that way he would only have three. And Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, if he would drink two cups, so then his servant would always, his butler would always bring out one cup, and if he drank one cup, his butler would bring two cups. Anyway, I mean, these people were all inside. So apparently there are problems of zugos in your own home. Answers the Gemara, Adam Chashuv Shaine. Somebody who is a person that is looked up to and is considered to be very chashuv is different. And there's two possibilities to this. One is that the impact that they have on other people who will be mezalzel in zugot in general, so they have to be more zahir. And the other approach is that the mazikim are more makbid on people who are chashav and they go after them. This is the reason that we give a chosen special shmira. Why you need to have shamrim? Why is that? Because the chosen is someone who is important for now, and therefore they're after him. Omer ula asarakosot in bemishum zugot. If you've got 10 cups, or obviously more than 10, you don't have to worry. So in other words, 4, yes. 2, yes. 8, yes, but not 10. And this is ula l'shitasa. The Omer ula of Amina b'masi satana, the Rabbanan were metakein in the house of an avel, 10 kosot. So asara kosot iknu chachamim bebeta avel. How would the Rabbanan be metakein 10 if you're going to be coming to doing something that is dangerous for you because it's so good? So obviously there was no problem. The Tosis points out that this must mean that Ula doesn't follow Rava's approach before that Koshal Bracha is not mitztarif l'ra'ah. Because one of the 10 kosot that is supposed to be had in the house of an avel is the kosher bracha and birkat hamazon. And therefore, there would be no kash over here, because we give the same teretz we gave to the takana of the arba. He would have told one of the others. Okay, but when it comes to eat, t'manya, yesh b'mishu zugot. Ula holds that there are. Rav Chista, Rabba Baravuna da Amri Tarvayu, that shalom, which is the seventh word in the Pasuk, Yisrael Hashem, panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom, so that is the way we refer to the seventh cup, is the cup of shalom, can only be mitztaref letov. So in other words, it will make the eighth cup, the seventh cup, will make the sixth cup not zugot, and it will make the eighth cup into a not zugot. So therefore it's l'ra'ah lo mitztaref. So to drink the kos that is merum, it's in shalom, is not going to be gorem anything bad. How would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give birkas kayanim and to end it with the word shalom? It's a remez that that's not going to cause any kind of evil. Rabba v'Rav Yosef amritavayu, the same thing is true about six, because v'chuneka, which is the first, the fifth word, is never going to be mitzaref to the sixth, and therefore it's mitzaref only letova. So it'll make the fourth good, but it won't make the sixth bad. Now note, and this is the Ben Ish Chai, he says, you notice over here, the Rashbam, I mean, he also notices the differences in the Deiris, but it doesn't attribute it to the same thing the Ben Ish Chai explains. But the idea over here is that each, if you look at the generations, each generation was more makel. So as we started with 10 not being a problem, 8 not being a problem, 6 not being a problem, he understands that this is a continued victory in Yisrael over forces of evil and magical thinking, which, again, remember, almost by definition, the concept of magical thinking is that you are not part of an enterprise that seeks to find and to discover a fundamental pattern in the nature of being that allows you to provide a fundamental description of reality. That's called magical thinking. So the idea over here is that as Yisrael is more and more victorious, then we have less and less of a hakpada. So in the door of Rabba and Rav Yosef, the zugot above four were not a problem. But that would mean that arba'a yesh b'em b'shum zugot. And then in Abaye v'Rovitz time, they both said that yivorecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. So v'yishmerecha is the third word. So v'yishmerecha cannot be mitztaref l'ra'a, it's only mitztaref l'tov, in which case there is no longer any sakana in drinking arba kosot. So with this, you have to explain a little bit differently than the Rashbam. The Rashbam, of course, asked the obvious question. We said before that Rava himself was worried about answering how could the Rabbana make a takana on the four kosot, because that's dangerous. And here, Rava is saying the four kosot are not dangerous. So the Rashbam's explanation is that the question that was raised originally was how could the Rabbanan be mitakein something that is dangerous in its furthest reaches, which means in terms of kishuv. So if somebody's doing active kishuv, then four is dangerous. Masha'en kein, if danger is only from zugot, we wouldn't have asked that. That's how the Rashbam understands it. The Ben Ish Chai has a completely different idea, according to which the difference in generations is the answer, correct? Because since by the time of Abaye v'Rava, there was no longer a problem of Arba Kosot, so obviously the Kasha in the Gemara was not referring to their times, it was referring to the time of the Takana. How did they originally make a Takana when at the time it was dangerous? And Rava answered there that Kos Shel Bracha is not considered to be a problem. It's starful in the Tova, but ain't no chinami. Nowadays, Rava wouldn't have needed that, because any kind of arba is no longer a problem. And actually, this was Rava in the way that he practically dealt with his Talmidim. Because remember, the minhag was, like we find in many places, that it's chamra lepumi derabbanan, chamra v'chaye lepumi derabbanan. So this survives still among some chassidim. You know, the more you get a little bit of a drink, the more you're able to understand things. And so if the Rebbe wants you to understand, so he'll give you some shirayim. I don't know, there's apparently no din of kos pogum when it comes to achayev, the chamra v'chaye, the pumim d'rabbanan, but in any event. So Rava used to send out his talmidim, and even though they had just had four cups, and I mean, you would have thought that he would be careful to avoid four cups, and make sure that either they had three cups or five cups, right? So apparently it didn't matter. So now you would have thought that Rava would have taken to heart the way that poor Rava Bar Livoi was eaten up by a shade after he left Rava's house. But Rava was not concerned of that, because Rava said, of course, he deserved to be eaten up by that shade. Why, he used to ask me kashas in the middle of shir and embarrass me because I never knew the answer. That's why it happened to him. Don't blame me for what the guy did to his own self just because I give him four cups of wine. So there you go. Don't bring me anecdotal evidence to something which I can just as easily explain away. Okay. So Rava lo chashle lo milsa. He didn't care about what happened to Rava Bar Livoi, because he said he deserved it. He's one of these guys who asks kashas very aggressively in the middle of a drasha. Omer of Yosef. Rav Yosef said, well, you know that I'm very good friends with another Yosef. Yosef the shade, right? Now, that's very suggestive, but we won't talk about it. But I'm very familiar with Yosef, the famous shade, and he used to give me a lot of advice about this issue. So he told me that actually the one in charge of all of these mazikin is Ashmodai himself. And that was the same shade that dealt with Shlomo HaMelech. Now, this guy is a serious contender. I mean, he's a melech on his own rights, right? So he is directly in charge of the din of zugos. And Ashmodai Malka the Shady. He's Mamuna Akula Zugi. And, I mean, do you really believe that a king can be looked at as a mazik? I mean, he's going to get down into this kind of low-class garbage, please. And therefore, there's nothing to worry about these zugot. And so don't worry about him. But others say, no, just the opposite. A king, you never know what suddenly gets him angry. You know, all of a sudden he's in a bad mood or whatever. You can't predict how a king is going to react. And therefore, some say, Adarabba. Malka Ratchanahu, these kings, they allow themselves to get really mad about something, my deboy of it, and then he does whatever the heck he wants, because it says, Melech poreitz geder lasot lo derech vein mochin biyado, that the king decides where it is he wants to build a highway, and then you can't stop him. So therefore, I would be even more careful because of Ashmodai. So you have to be extra super duper careful. Omer of Papa, I also spoke to Yosef Shida, and he said, look, we can kill people for drinking two cups. For drinking four cups, we can only be mazik people. There's also another difference. If you drink two cups, and we can kill this guy whether he realized that he did that or not. So, I mean, obviously, you don't want to poke us in the eyes. But even if you did it by accident, it would be a problem. But arba'a, it's only if you're interested in getting trouble. So b'mezid, yes. B'shogeg, lo. Now, what happens if you forget? You didn't keep track. You walked out, and you had just had zugos, whatever the halakha was at your time, what's considered to be zugot. So you had two. Let's say you had two, right? The basic, most powerful zugot that we just landed up with. What do you do? Well, very simple. Take the thumb of your right hand and hold it in your left hand. And then take the thumb of your left hand and hold it in your right hand. Now, that's obviously primal zugot. I mean, is the symmetry of tov v'ra, the sinister left hand, which is the essential concept of left all over, leftists, rightists, and so on. All right, so you've got now your right thumb in your left hand and your left thumb in your right hand. And then you say to them, listen here, buddies, Aton va'ana hatlata. If we keep things cool, then it's you two plus me. So it's never zugot, because there's a mind in charge here. Now, the problem is, if you hear a voice behind you saying, yeah, but you three and me are four. Bum, 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 bum. So then you better say quickly, yeah, okay, but we four plus me is five. But then if you hear a voice saying, yes, but you five plus me are six. Dum da dum dum. So then you should quickly say, aha, but we six plus me is seven. Now you should keep going like this, you see. And it once happened that This kept going until the victim, the potential victim, reached 101, at which point he heard a bursting balloon, and that was the end of the shade. Okay, so apparently this, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, fancy explanations of what exactly, why would he burst? So he would burst, there's all kinds of remazim. Sometimes he bursts because it's a remez to the gematria of Michael, and Michael is the ultimate keach of chesed, so you don't have to worry about mazikim, whatever. Okay, so whether it's numerology, whether it's demonology, whether it's straight out kishafim, whatever you want, make sure you get it right. Omar HaMeimar, the Rishtini Denashim Kashpaniot, Rishtini actually is the same word that's used for the madam in a whorehouse. And so the idea over here of these Nashim Kashvaniot, is, yes, so they've also got a madam, you know, running around doing their stuff. So the madam tells me that Haiman de Pargabu Benashim Kashvaniot, look, if you bump into any of these women, you know, so you bump into witches. So what you got to tell them is like this, that there's an incantation that you have to say to them. And that's not a very clean incantation, but after all, witches deserve the worst. So you basically give them a barrel of hot shit, you tell them, Chare Chamima Bidikula, fill up a basket with this into your mouths, you Nashi Dechashaya, you women who are witches. May your hairs, Karach Karchachi, the hairs that you've been collecting of your victims, may they all expose you as your own bald skulls. Parach parchaychi, the crumbs that you've been collecting from underneath people's feet, may they be blown away. May your tavlunaychi, badur tavlunaychi, the spices that you've been gathering up, may they blow away. Parcha zika lemorika chadata denakitetu nashim kashvaniot, you rotten witches, may the wind take away the karkum, I think is usually translated as saffron, that you hold in your hands, O evil witches. Adachanani v'chananchi lo atiti lego. Let me tell you, as long as I was in a state of caring about myself and felt love for the universe, and the universe felt love for me, I never met up with people like you. Now that I have, clearly, the Rashbam has karchanani as sort of a play on words on the karcha that he said before, but karchanani means cooled off. My chain has cooled off. So I'm no longer looked at with the same kind of love that I was once looked at, where I was cared for by things. Now that I met folks like you, and I have to learn to re-care for myself. Anyway, in Eretz Yisrael, I didn't give a hang about this stuff. But Ma'arava lokap the Azuga. Rav Dimi Menardo, on the other hand, above all, he was like so makbid that he would even be careful not to mark the inside of a barrel to mark the number of sales that he's made in letting out wine from the barrel, if it was an even mark. And actually, it was once a time where somebody made an even mark and the whole barrel burst. I mean, that was an expensive mistake, man. So anyway, if you're with Rav Dimi Menardo, stay away from bursting barrels. Anyway, the general rule is, and this is the Gemara's brilliant insight, the general rule is, it's all a function of your own psychology. Call the cupid. Look, if you really care about this stuff, then it's going to care about you because it's going to impact you. So call the cupid, cupid by day. The low cupid, if you don't give a hang, believe me, there ain't nothing out there that is going to give a hang. So therefore, low cupid by day. Now, this is the question. Do we have the girsa? There are two girsaot. The diktukei sofrim brings girsaos where we don't have this. Umi ulamechash biboy, which is the Rashbam's girsa, which, as I said, the Ben Ish Chai did not have. So mi ulamechash miboy, you should not completely ignore it, but don't pay attention to it. Sort of a little bit of a difficult thing. This is brought, by the way, also, Lagabe, Rav Meisher brings it also, Lagabe, things like people are concerned for ayin haras and stuff like that. It's all the same things as Rav Moshe. The general rule is, to whatever extent that you get your brain wrapped up around this kind of superstition, it really does have a very powerful impact on your psyche. And to whatever extent you're able to break with this, it has less and less of an impact. The amazing thing is, Rabbi Osai, that this is true in the other direction as well. And this is extremely important to know. And that is that the way in which a person lives in the world, as the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bach, explain at such great length in the Rabbeinu Bach has a beautiful opening to this week's parasha that we just read, which is all about the idea of Neis Nister being the way that human beings live, and that it affects your health, it affects your longevity, and so on and so forth. The same thing is true in that direction. In other words, someone who relates to his life with a full awareness of the interrelated, insane coincidences that make up every moment of his life is connected, as the Rambam points out, to a level of chokhmah in the Bria, which is so complex that you're only touching the outsides of a quantum universe with all of its strange effects of wave collapse appearances, entanglements, appearances, and so on and so forth. And to grasp that level of chokhmah means that you are living in a world of Neis Nister, because nothing is causal. But that's the opposite of magical thinking. Note how this is mamash a mirror image. So that in the same way that manda lo kapit lay, the Rambam points out that since Hashgachas Hashem is essentially a issue of mind, and therefore it's only achievable if your mind is actually attuned to that darga of chokhmah. Otherwise, for all intents and purposes, you are living in terms of your consciousness, and therefore in terms of the impact upon you, in a world of complete randomness. And that means that there won't be hashgacha on you. So this is an amazing sugya, because it is actually both elements of Pesach, both the das of Pesach and the journey towards that das by the dichui of the inyanim that are related to magic, to Avodah Zorah, to Bilam HaRasha, to the carry of Bilam HaRasha, which becomes here in Pesach Purim, the biggest, as we were talking about in the Purim Shir, the biggest non-mikra, the biggest mikare, the one who does the roofing, so to speak, in which all of a sudden everything is so profoundly related with that roof, even though each piece of that roof is unrelated to any other in a real way. So this is really a fantastic sugya, and extremely sensitive to the issues of the getter of Nisim on Pesach and so on. So ki also Rav Dimi, when he came to Bavel, he explained that we have a Kabbalah, and our Kabbalah is that shtei beitzim u'shtei eguzim u'shtei kishuim and one other thing is halacha l'meshem Sinai. Now again, to say such things halacha l'meshem Sinai is absurd, and it's not the meaning of halacha l'meshem Sinai, as we find the Tosfos in Yuma talks about also in it, and we have in the Gemara Chagiga al tachushu l'minyanechem kach mekublani halacha l'meshem Sinai. So I'll explain over there, halacha l'meshem Sinai means it's the same as halacha l'meshem Sinai, meaning it's an ancient Gemara that we have. Not that, because there couldn't have been halacha l'meshem Sinai that Ammon and Moab are supposed to take off during Shemitah, a particular type of mice or whatever. That's crazy. Those are all takanas derabbanan about how it is that we treat semi-additional, where we didn't have the correct background to make a full Kedushas Haaretz. So as the Rishonim point out, it can't mean halacha l'meshem Sinai. The same thing is true over here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to change things b'meshach hadaras. So basically, we have a Kabbalah that there are certain things that should be related to, like two eggs, two nuts, and two cucumbers. Fine. And there's one other thing that is related to that, and we don't remember what that other thing is. And because of that, we have this hakpada to be careful about all things, because we're not sure what those other things are. So this has to do with basically the deepest aspects of zugos. And the deepest aspects of zugos are obviously reproductive zugos, and it's not a coincidence that nuts and eggs are used in terms of zugos on the body, as are cucumbers. And therefore, the question is, what is the other issue? We're not sure. So because we're not sure, we basically just said, okay, we always have a suffix. So, mistafka hu l'rabbanan, my niyu davar acher, what is this other thing? And because of that, the Rabbanan were gozer on all of zugos, because it might be this other thing. But that should effectively limit the issue, because it would have to be at least similar to the things that we had, which we'll see later on. So then when we were talking about before, you should know, 10 or 8 or 6 or 4. So right, we had the different shitas. And we said during the Doras it went down, right? So from Ula it was 10, and then it went down to Rav Chisda, and then it went down to 6 for Rabba and Rav Yosef, for Abaye Varov it went down to 4 and so on. So all of these things were only said benogeya the dinim of zugais. They were not said in the dinim of mazikin. I mean, in the dinim of kshofim, which over there, kishuf, goes beyond the question of stam mazikin. And over there, afilu tuvana michashina. And if this is being done as part of an attack of kishuf, so then you have to worry that the zugos are going to be much more dangerous. And if you are in a tough situation where you've got a divorced wife who's after you, oh my God, you better be very careful, because this was this guy who divorced his wife and she went and married the owner of the local pub. Now, this guy used to go to the pub. Now, this gave her a very, very good way of getting rid of her disgusting ex. So what she would do is, every time he would come into the pub, she was going in, going on over there, you know, doing all of her magic on all of this beer he was drinking. Actually, it was wine, it says. So, kuyuma ve'azav v'shati chamer. Every single day he went in there for some good drinks. And she used to do all kinds of shuffling, but it didn't have any effect because he was very careful about never, ever getting out of that place before he had an odd number. So he would never walk out with an even number. But one day she was able to get him a little bit too high to keep track. So he lost track of how much he drank. Now, until the 16th cup, he was doing pretty good. This guy is okay, let me tell you. So until the 16th cup, he was doing pretty good. And then he lost track. So Ad Sheitzar, he was still clear, Havitzayo, V'izdayar Benavshe. But from that point on, he sort of got a little bit confused. So Mikan Ve'elach, good heavens, how much was the Mikan Ve'elach? God only knows. Okay. So this guy kept going, you know, 16 is just the beginning of the day. And Mikan Ve'elach lo Havitzayo, V'lo Izdayar Benavshe, and she got him to leave on an even number. Oh my God, he's stumbling down the street. And the Ki'avi Ozil, he bumps into this Arab who says, oh my God, dead man walking. The guy gets terrified. Ah! And he goes and he runs and he grabs this palm tree to hold on. And as he grabs the palm tree, guess what happens? The palm tree shriveled in his hands and he burst like a bus balloon. And that was the end of the X, who was from then on referred to as X. The big X. So she took care of him. Anyway, Omer Rav Avira, since we have this dugma, so now we know that it's only a takana on things that are like the cucumbers and the nuts and so on. So ka'arot v'kikarot. So if you're talking about, plates, the fact that you had two dishes, that's not considered to be zugot. And basically, klala de milta, anything that required human intervention in order to fix it up. So that's not like the set of things that we had that were zugot-oriented. You don't have to worry about that. En b'mishum zugot, only something that is a natural product, like the nuts and the eggs and the cucumbers, gam robi de shamayim, b'mile mine de mechal, and it's something that you would eat, then it is similar to that set, and therefore, we're worried about it. Okay, chanut ein b'mishum zugot. So now the question is, what does that mean? Some say it means chanut, drinking in two different shops is not considered to be zugot. But there's another pshat would be that zugot, that you drink in a bar, is not considered to be zugot, which, of course, how do you explain X? you explain X because she was after him with Kishuf. And we already said that Zugot and Kishuf are two different things. So the Kishuf builds on the Zugot, but it's much more dangerous. Now, obviously, we're talking about 16 was way beyond 10. So nobody held that that much would be a problem, right? Why would that be true? Because generally, you're a Nimlach. In other words, you need to order another drink. You know, so, I mean, obviously, if you did one of Harriet's things and throw your wallet to the guy, it's just keep taking as necessary, okay? That's different. But generally, when you're ordering, so then each order is a separate order. So how could it be mitzvah? And if you're a guest, so also, you don't know what it is you're going to be served. And therefore, I mean, this means we're going to have to understand that the Talmidim in Rava's house did not view themselves as guests, because otherwise they would have been nimlach, right? And you were saying in Oreach, you don't have to worry about. A woman also does not have to worry about zugot, because, I mean, you know, women don't generally sit around in bars. That's why it's like such a man's kind of thing. And because of that, she's always considered to be nimlach. If we take seriously the phallic symbol aspect of the zugot, there's an obvious reason why we're not cheshish for women with zugot. You'll notice that Georgia O'Keeffe did the same thing for women that these symbols do for men. So it's like not such a weird kind of thing. Okay, so Isha in Babishum Zugot. If she's an Isha Chashuva, I mean, okay, so then she's plied with drinks and so on and so forth. So then it would be the same issue with her. Amar Rav Chinana Bereder of Yeshua. Let me tell you something. If you got a cup of asparagus juice, you can't go wrong. I mean, there's no way that a cup of asparagus is going to make things worse. It can only make things better. So if you had two, this, there we go, pure asparagus juice for today. Thank you. Galen actually recommended asparagus, which is why what asparagus really means in the Gemara is not literally what we think. It's not literally asparagus. Just you should know that during the Roman period and the Greeks, asparagus was asparagus. And the original asparagus drink that the Gemara talks about, which is your morning alcoholic drink, was asparagus. And not only that, it was always considered also to be an aphrodisiac because of its shape. So it fits in with the other things that we were talking about. As a matter of fact, in French, they used to call it love knives or something. So they looked at the tips of the asparagus as being something that would encourage you. So in any event, that would mean that it would be mitzvah l'tova, not be mitzvah l'ra'ah. Om ravina mishmei d'rava. Look, how about if you're not sure? What do you do? Did I have two or did I have three? So the thing to do is always go l'chumra, assume the worst, and drink another cup. Because m'manashach, if l'maisa, it was originally three, then if you're drinking another cup, it would be a nimlach. If l'maisa, it was two, then your intent is to be mechabret, so then it becomes three. But some say just the opposite. Always be makel and assume you didn't. Why? Because if you drink another cup on purpose, now you're being makbid, right? So, of course, aha, so you're nervous, are you? Two plus me, and so on. So because of that, it would be best not to do anything and hope for the best. Because that way, you're not indicating that you're nervous. But, you know, being nervous is like running from a bear. Not very smart. Anyway, that would be the difference. Omer of Yosef, if you've got two cups of wine and one cup of beer, so then that's not going to be a tziruf, because you can't be mitzaref something as low class as beer with a good cup of wine. But if you start off with two cups of beer and one cup of wine, then that is mitzaref, as anyone who learned Kalim knows. Because that's the Mishnah in Kalim. V'simanecha zehaklal. Kol ha-mechubar lo min ha-chamur mimenu tameh. Min ha-kal mimenu tahor. So we're talking about over there about a chibur of, let's say, mapatz to sock, right? So if something requires sheish al sheish, so then it can't be mitzvah for something chamesh al chamesh, because it's not as choshev. But if something is sheish al sheish, you add an additional piece to fill an inch here of something which is chamesh al chamesh, and it is mitzvah. That's exactly what we're saying. Amr Nachman Amarab. Another thing is, to have two cups of wine before the table is set, before you bring the meal, in other words, and one on the table. So that is mitzarev, because over there, the things that you drink, the two that you drink during the meal is not going to be dangerous, because the first one is viewed as part of introductory to the meal, and it's like an appetizer. But if you drink the one mikamitaka, trei kamataka v'chad ataka armitzariv, and that would make three. But chad mikamitaka v'trei ataka are problematic. And that would mean that they're not going to be mitzarev, and you actually had more. Why is that? Because it's the same svara as the Mishnah in Kalim. Something that you drink during the meal is going to be more chashuv than something that you drink not. So you can always be mitzarev for more chashuv, but you can be mitzarev for less chashuv. Matkiflor v'masharshia. V'masharshia said it the other way around. Well, differently. He said, well, who cares about the taka? What we're interested in is the person, right? So, ato ananda takune taka kabayina. We don't need to deal with the table. We need to deal with the person. And the person is fine, because either way, he had three cups of wine. But everybody would agree that the kulayama, if you're talking about having two cups during the meal and one cup following the meal, that over there, that would be a problem of zugais. And that was actually the issue that happened with Rabbi Bar Nachman. Remember that there was this tax collector that came to in Bob Metzia, came to catch actually Rabbi Bar Nachmani. And what happened over there was that he drank zugais in the hotel. And that was pretty bad, because his face turned inside out. And even a tax collector, when he's caught in the matrix, has got problems with the face turned inside out. So Rabbi Bar Nachmani wanted to make sure that he would be okay, which had the salutary effect of getting this tax collector off of his case once and for all, instead of having somebody else being sent to do an audit, right? So he had the guy go back to the table, brought out an additional cup of wine, and that way he got out of the matrix, and his face went back to being inside out instead of outside in. So as you can see, he needed to bring him back to the table. I love it. You know what? We'll do that tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. And I think what we could do is we could just... since we have such little times, I do have a couple of vinyanim, I think, that I still wanted to talk to you about halacha lemaisa when it comes to zugot. So the Tosfos, as I mentioned, the Tosfos in Yuma talks about this problem, and he says there's no issue of zugos, but he says that it's a function of the environment. And that he says that where we live nowadays, his lashon is in these malchios, there are no zugos. So, I mean, again, I would imagine that, you know, if you're living among, a bunch of aborigines, whose entire society is based on magic, he wouldn't have said that. But where he is, in his Zoramben, because we have no such thing nowadays. And Lamaisa, the Orach HaShulchan Paskins Halacha Lamaisa, nobody is makbid, and therefore it's not the right thing to do, Bichlal, to be makbid, because that actually lends credence to the dualism that originally you were trying to undo. So I said, oh, now it's really important. It's like the people who argue about whether we should so-called, quote-unquote, believe in evolution. I love that one. So by getting into these kind of arguments, you lend credence to people who think magically. And this is like overall, there's a myself that Abaya, remember, was megarish all of the mazikin and told them, you're causing trouble, as we'll see, and get the heck out of here. And so because of that, even modern, like nowadays, Bechlal, there's not anywhere, because he was mashbiya the Mabaya, to get out of the way of people. So basically, get out of people's minds. Now, as I mentioned to you while we were learning, Rav Meisha in a tshuva, where people asked him about Inyanim of Ayin Hara and so on, he compares the issue of Ayin Hara to this question of this Gemara. So the question is, the more that you care about this kind of thing, the more you are open to your own sense of vulnerability. And this, like everybody knows, there's this idea of self-fulfilling prophecies, and like you can get yourself into a state of mind in which you really get yourself very sick or bad things happen to you. So he says that's the same inyan about an ayin hara. And that the bichlal, the only time to, even if you're gores, the lachshosh, that there is an inyan to be choshesh, he says you're only choshesh from something that attracts a lot of attention. So in other words, if something, you know, you won the lottery, okay, I can understand why people wouldn't want people to know that you won the lottery. Besides the doorbell, there may be other reasons for people not knowing that you won the lottery. I understand that. But things that are normal, you know, so people are nervous, women are nervous about people knowing that they're pregnant, maybe they'll get an IVF, and things that are normal are not something that you should be makpin on at all. Taina's Rav Moshe. Okay, there's one other question, which are these incantations. So that's an issue. Some people will say psukim on these kind of things, you know, Yoshua b'seser Elia and whatever, Elif mitzitcha, you know, there's a lot of questions about its reference to that Shir Shel Pagaim, it's called, because of its reference to Mazikim. And the Shaila is, of course, that there's an Isser to be mitrapeh midivrei Torah. So would you be able to say those type of kapitlach if you're worried about these kinds of things? Tosfos actually hints that mipnei ha-sakana, if there really is a mental sakana, remember that we count mental sakana to be 100% a sakana, even in terms of chilul Shabbos. That's a very important thing to know, that a psychiatric attack is just as important as any physical kind of illness. The one place where this is very nogea is children that get locked in bathrooms. So the halacha is openly be mechalal Shabbos, to get the child out of the bathroom. There's absolutely nothing dangerous at all in the child getting locked in the bathroom, except for his own terror. And that fear and the impact that it can have on him psychologically is considered to be a sakonis nefashis. So that is a fantastically insightful halacha lemaisa in terms literally of Chilul Shabbos. I mean, it's giving the biggest chumrah, and it means that we take psychological danger as being fundamentally dangerous. This is very nogea. My son is a psychiatrist that has to work on Shabbos sometimes, and the question is, what type of things are considered to be a level of sakana that are mechayev Chilul Shabbos, and they're only mental sakanas. So these are very, very serious issues. Okay. That, I think, we were not going to have very much to discuss in terms of which shadim to do, which to la halacha anymore because of today. So we should have our time opened up, Bezrat Hashem, after this. So I won't say happy hunting. That may be a little bit too much in your face, you know. But maybe ad kedei kach lo chushmi boy. But keep cool, keep calm, keep collected, and we'll see you all, Bezrat Hashem, healthy and whole, and not burst tomorrow. Kol tov.